My guest at this time is Hans von Spakovsky. He's manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative at the Heritage Foundation. He was also a member of President Trump's Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity. We've asked him to respond to Hillary Clinton's latest explanations for why she lost in 2016. During an appearance at Rutgers University recently, Secretary Clinton asserted that U.S. Supreme Court decisions on campaign finance and voting rights worked against her. And Hans, thanks so much for being with us.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Well, let's listen to the extended clip here of Mrs. Clinton's explanation.
I was the first person to run for president who had to deal with both Citizens United and the gutting of the Voting Rights Act. So with Citizens United, it was all bets are off, more money than we've ever seen, and being spent in ways we still to this day don't know. I mean, the NRA spent more money against me than they've ever spent against anybody. And all these other groups were just pumping it out because with the Citizens United decision, we can't stop it and we can't even follow it. And we often don't even know after the fact. And then the Voting Rights Act, which was gutted, opened the door to voter suppression like we haven't seen in 50 years. And so people are being turned away from the polls because they don't have the exact right ID, although they bring everything else they possibly can bring. And they're being purged from voting rolls because maybe they haven't voted in a year or two.
So Hans, a lot to get into there. Let's start with the money in the 2016 campaign. Liberals like to demonize Citizens United for allowing what they consider unlimited dark money into politics. But when you look at the 2016 campaign, how did the special interest spending shake out? And is there a way to determine whether it had a decisive impact?
Just about everything Hillary Clinton said is wrong, and she's apparently still operating in fantasy land. Look, the independent spending, and by independent spending, we mean spending by groups that are not associated with the campaigns or the political parties. That's something that's been going on in our elections for a very long time. And it's a tiny, tiny percentage of the amount of money that was raised and spent by the presidential campaigns, including her campaign. And by the way, most of that independent spending is entirely disclosed. Political groups that PACs and others that engage in that kind of spending have to report all of it, including all of their donors, to the Federal Election Commission. So her claim is just not valid.
Well, let's move over to the Voting Rights Act now. What exactly did the Supreme Court rule, and is there any credence to her notion that it was gutted and we've seen voter suppression now like we haven't seen since the 60s?
No, that also is completely and totally false. The only thing that the Supreme Court said was that Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, Section 5 was supposed to be a temporary provision. It only applied to a handful of states across the country, and said that those states, places like Georgia and Alabama, couldn't make any changes in their voting laws until they got the pre-approval of the U.S. Justice Department. The Supreme Court tossed that out because that provision was no longer needed. But the main parts of the Voting Rights Act, which prohibits discrimination based on race across the U.S., that is a permanent provision. And she made two claims that are completely untrue. One, she said people were turned away from the polls, not allowed to vote. She obviously is not familiar with federal law, which says that no one can be turned away from a poll. If you show up and there's some kind of problem, say you're not on the voter registration list, you are given a provisional ballot and you are allowed to vote. She also said that people were being purged if they hadn't voted in a year or two. That is also completely and totally false. Federal law, the motor voter law, does not allow that to be done. So she basically is making up these claims.
Was there even any allegation of voter suppression or people being turned away from the polls back at around the time of the election? I remember a whole lot of concerns about how close the vote was in the three states that ultimately made the difference in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. But this is the first I've ever heard of an allegation of it being due to voter suppression.
No, in fact, that's a very key point. If anything like that had occurred, you would have seen lawsuits filed by all kinds of groups under the Voting Rights Act, because, of course, suppressing and intimidating voters is illegal under the Voting Rights Act. Not a single lawsuit like that was filed. No lawsuit was filed by the U.S. Justice Department either. And in fact, the number of prosecutions done under the Voting Rights Act by the Obama administration went down significantly during the all 8 years it was in office. And that's because there is just less and less discrimination of any kind going on around the country.
Is there any reason to suggest that the results of the 2016 election are illegitimate?
Certainly not based on the claims that Hillary Clinton made. She just can't get over the fact that Donald Trump won the election.
I don't know if you've seen this one, Hans, and I hate to throw it to you at the last second, but it's on the voter ID question. I just read something that Illinois is planning, or maybe it's just in Chicago, planning to allow non-driver's licenses. It's like a state ID, but not a driver's license that can be given to those in the country illegally, and they would be acceptable for voting. What do you know about that, whether it's there or anywhere else in the country, and what's your response to it?
Well, Chicago has long had a problem that it refuses to do anything about, and that is people who are not U.S. citizens registering and voting in elections, even as long ago as in the early 1980s. The U.S. Justice Department prosecuted non-citizens who were registered and voting in Chicago, and Chicago refused to do anything about it. This latest proposal is a way of making it even easier, particularly for illegal aliens, to register and vote. And it shows how much Chicago hasn't changed and doesn't take the issue of election integrity seriously.
Hans, we'll leave it there for today. As always, thank you so much for your time.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Hans von Spakovsky, manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative at the Heritage Foundation, also a member of President Trump's Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.